glory. I sense in the spirit that there's a lot of people going through. Is anybody else going through? It seems like that Satan has increased his attack in the last couple of weeks. But one of the ways you shut him up, one of the ways that you make him back off, is that you begin to think about how good God been to you through the years. The difference between being thankful and grateful. Grateful is you look back over. Oh, he brought you through. Oh, he kept you through. And then you begin to say, Lord, I am grateful because I never would have made it if it had not been for you on my side. Is there anybody in the house grateful? Then you need to open up your mouth and say, Lord, I'm grateful because I recognize it was nobody but you that brought me through. Lord, I'm grateful for how you kept me, for how you brought me, for what you're doing in my life. Gratefulness. This sets you up for thankfulness. Thankfulness means I have an expectation on the table. Because if you brought me through all that, if you kept me through all of this, I have an expectation of what you're going to do in the future. So Lord, I'm not only grateful, I'm thankful. I have an expectation. Give God some praise in the house. Give God praise at home. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Father, even now, I sense your presence in this room. So go encourage your children. Lord, strengthen your children. Lord, heal your children. Father, we come expecting miracles. So somebody already called it out. Deliver your children. Let chains fall off. Let there be such a shift. We bind Satan in the name of Jesus that he has no dominion in this place. And this is your place, Lord. We are your children, Lord. So, Lord, do what only you can do. You speak. You minister. Hide me behind your Shekinah glory. Even now, Lord. We give you the praise. Matter of fact, we say thank you ahead of time for what you are going to do in our midst. Hallelujah! 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 Amen. To those in the media, I'm going to begin at Revelation 12, 1 through 7. I'm going to recap from there, then we will move on. So you don't have to stand. No, I'm just going to preach. Here we have in this text where I believe it's a second episode of a war, but this war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan happened when Christ come. If you look at this verse, and as theologians believe, it's chronological in order. It can't be at the beginning. It's somewhere when Christ comes, because in the Old Testament, when Job was being tested, Satan still had the ability to appear with the angels of God, because he came in with the angel and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So we know that this is not at the beginning of creation. This battle has to be at some point when Christ came, because he tries to destroy Israel, that God said, "Now I just made a shift." But if you read down at verse 12, it says this. Listen to what it says. But let me go back up, and it says, "And I heard of saying, say, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down." That's a shift. That's a move of God saying, now that Christ has come and the kingdom of God has come with him, there is power, there is glory, there is might that has come on the earth. And watch it. And Satan is now leveled downward. But read on. It says he accuses us before God day and night, which means then he can't accuse us before God anymore. Y'all get that? Because he's been cast down. Matter of fact, because if you're saved, you've been covered in the blood. And Christ Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. So let me speak to someone. If you feel condemned, but you are in Jesus, God don't condemn you. If you're covered by the blood, there is no condemnation on you. So the condemnation is of the devil. Now let me get something straight. If you're not living right, he will convict you. If you're a child of God, if you've really been born again and have the Spirit of God in you, you can't tell me that you can continually live anyway and get and not be convicted by the Holy Spirit. But convicted is not condemned. Condemned means you're going to hell. Convicted means you're a child of God and God is grieved by your lifestyle. Let's read on. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Well, he said, your mouth is your weapon. You better speak up. There's nothing holy about being quiet about Jesus. I was in the parking lot. I was on a phone call that I needed to make, and somebody came up on my right side, and you gotta be careful when you walk up on somebody. First of all, I assessed him and saw that he was of no harm. He was a homeless person, but I had to continue on with what I was doing. When I got done, I rolled down the window. He said, man, you got a few dollars to spare. And somehow we started talking about God. And listen what he said. He said this. He said, I don't bow to him no more. I still blessed him because I wanted more conversation for him. I wanted to talk with him about what's going on with him because I never seen somebody so bold. I said, at least let me pray for you. He said, uh-uh. He said, you can pray for me after I leave. Because I don't want you to pray for me in public. Now I'm thinking, you homeless, you as almost as down as you can be, you look homeless, and you still got this attitude that you will not surrender. My brothers and sisters, there's a difference between knowing God as your Savior and knowing God as your Lord. Now, we may not be as bad as him, but up in the church house, we got folks that God is trying to change us, and we are stuck on stuck, and we wonder why it feels like that God is cursing us. Listen, you can only be blessed when you surrender. You can be saved, but being saved don't mean you got his favor. Notice, we are in a battle, and most of us don't even know that the battle is raging on. You want to be up under covering. Notice what he said. He said, it's the blood, and the blood covers us. But also, you know what else covers us? Obedience. Talking to someone, and this is what they said. They said, you know, I used to be mad at God because I accepted him as Savior, but I was living the lifestyle I wanted to live, and I was wondering why he wasn't blessing me. He said, then I found out God don't bless my lifestyle. He blesses his lifestyle. And when I surrendered under the mighty hand and made him not just my Savior, but my Lord. Then I started seeing his hand. And the person talked about how he loved Jesus. Because now he's up under authority of the power of God in his life. And now, even when they go through, they know they're covered. I just want to hear from people that you know you covered. You may miss it sometimes, but you get back up, but you are trying to live your life in a way that show evidence that God is real, that he got his name on you, that you are his property. My brother and sister, as time gets worse, let me go up to verse 12. Let me explain what I mean by that. It says, therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe, listen what I'm saying. Apparently, this is either the Lord saying it or an angel saying it. As John writes Revelation, he hears this voice saying, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. That means all the earth, everyone on the earth. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows. He knows that his time is a short time. Let me ask you, do you know? Do we know? Do we understand what is really happening on the earth in the spiritual realm. Are we adjusting our lives to understand the magnitude? I know we're looking at, you know, the politics and Trump and all that. The bigger issue is this. And what is controlling the politics and all the stuff that's going on? Listen, I hate to say this, but I'm going to bust some of your bubbles. The presidency can't solve nothing. Because what is really taking place is this. And we who are Christians, we got to be aware of the time. We have to understand the battle that is upon. Genesis 3:1. Satan shows up and the word is serpent, but don't see this as anything you know. Don't see this as anything that we call serpent today. Whatever it was, it must have been beautiful. How can I say this? Satan is not going to come to you with a forked pick, horns. He might be in a red suit, but not in. But he's not going to come to you as something that will make you afraid. Unless fear is your weakness. He's going to come to us in a way that is alluring, that is attractive, and he comes with an agenda. And understand what the agenda is. It is to get us to act outside of God's agenda, outside of God's will, to make us think we can handle it. The whole process here is that they are covered. Satan can't even bring thoughts into their minds. So he comes on the outside and give voice to some creature that can talk to them. And apparently it was so beautiful that they, not just Eve, they entertained the conversation with a creature because apparently it was so alluring. Satan will come at us at the point where he draws our attention. Can I say this? Don't get into conversation. Don't entertain it. Walk away from it. If Jesus quoted scripture, you need to quote scripture. He always comes at the point of what we think we need. Without on me, I don't understand because they had everything. But watch what he says here. He says, more cunning, I would say more beautiful than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, listen, Adam is standing there and he goes to the woman. Let me explain why. God told Adam told Eve. Secondary information is always corrupt. God didn't tell her. Tell Adam. What he's doing is switching it, and he's saying, what did God say to you? She didn't hear God. She heard it for lied on. A little bit of twist of truth, a little bit of angle, and we're not careful, will make you miss the whole thing. Do you believe the word of God is God breathed? Do you believe the word of God is that word that we will be judged by? Have you believed the attacks on the word of God and you in your own heart and mind have compromised how high you hold the word of God? Because the lower you let it slip, the more you will rationalize your action. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're under attack. We're under attack and don't even know it. If we knew it, we would put up a fence to it. But he does it in such a manner that we don't even know we're under attack. They're under attack and they don't even know it. Adam is our representative. So as Adam go, so go all mankind. Let me explain how crucial this is. Though he goes at Eve, his attack is really at Adam. Ladies, don't get mad at me, but let's know the truth. The seed of the child is in the man. The woman incubates the seed, but she don't have the seed in her. It is the man that determines whether that baby is going to be a male or a female. That's why when Eve took of the fruit, nothing happened. But when Adam... What we don't understand is this is an epic, cosmic, spiritual... It is bigger than anything we can imagine. I think it affected all creation. I think that's why the moon and the planets look so messed up. Because all of that was ours. Under authority. But when Adam came up from under authority, everything shifts. Let's dig a little bit deeper. He says to the one, has God indeed said, whenever God's word is being challenged, some of the things God says, I don't understand. But I can't understand it with my own wisdom. It's best to know the heart of God is for us. And whatever he says, even if it rubs me wrong, he's right. Y'all didn't hear that. Somebody didn't hear that. Somebody, listen. All of us stand under God's word. But there's a heavy price to pay when we rise up in our rebellion and say, I'm going to do what I want to do the way I want to do it. Listen. There's two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of God that loves us, got the blessings for us, who wants us to walk so he can show us and teach us. And the kingdom of the devil, and the devil's whole agenda is to kill, steal, and destroyed because we were made in God's image. There was a time I played with that. I don't learned enough. I don't play with it no more. Are you playing with it? Satan plays us because we don't know spiritual principles. And when we don't know spiritual principles, we think because the judgment of God don't come right away. You know what I learned? You know what I'm learning? No, I've learned. The longer it waits to come, the worse it is. I remember when my mom wasn't the type who said, I'm gonna wait till your dad come home. My mom would take care of it herself. I declare, I don't know how my mom did it. She threw a shoe at me, and my memory said, it turned the corner and hit me. I still don't know how she did that. But if I riled up my dad was super strong. He didn't know his own strength. When my dad was dying, he said, I was strong enough that I could crush a, I felt like I could crush a rock. The last person I wanted to get a whooping from, I would take my mom's switches any day to my dad's whoopings. My mom used to make us go and get a switch, and if the switch wasn't right, to the younger people that don't know what a switch is, a switch is a piece of a bush or a tree, and it bends just right that though she hit the back of you, it wrap around the front of you and leave webs all over your body. And there was no calling. What is that? 241-1422 something. You better not pick up that phone. I'd rather for God to get me immediately than to be deceived and think it's not coming. And you keep on. Pharaoh, in the process of letting Egypt go, and some people say, well, why did God do this? Listen, the first 5 times Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Only after, now watch this, that means that he had the choice to repent and change his mind. But after the 5th time, it said, God said, you want to go that way? Go ahead. Go. Some of us don't know it. God has already said, go ahead. You want it like that? You're going to rebel against me like that? Well, go ahead. Eat your food. He did this to Israelites many times to get them to the place of repentance. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My brothers and sisters, Satan knows he's doomed. He knows his time is short, and he hates you and I so much. He's trying to encourage us, coerce us to follow him in his destruction. And we think we're playing. Yes, sir. This is no game. This is no game. You don't know that until you experience some of that. You don't know that until the curtains are pulled back a little bit. You don't know that until, let's go on. Well, it's up there, ain't it? Okay, thank you. And a woman, what's this? So the woman, what did he do? Eyes, that's lust of the flesh. That is, I think it's pleasurable. You know what the temptation is here? It's what Satan said. He said, because the day that you eat of it, God is holding back on you. He said, and the only place he could get them at is this. It will make you like God, and you don't have to wait. Their one desire is to be like God, their father, because he's walking with them. He's talking to them. He's showing them little bit by little bit. In the cool of the day, he's coming down every day and they're fellowshipping with him. He's delighting with them. They're delighting with him. They are his children and he is their father. And he's showing them that under authority, you're going to have kingdom. You're going to have power. But I can't take, you put power in anybody's hand that's not ready for power, they would become a corrupt tyrant. Many people who won the lottery, millions of dollars within 5 to 7 years, they're broke because they didn't know how to handle it. Warren Buffett says, I am not going to give my children my money. And this is what he said. He said, because if I gave them all of this, it would destroy them. Because what he's saying is they didn't work for it. So they don't appreciate it. I'm going to spend the rest of my life giving all this away, because if I put this in their hands without them going through the process of gaining it, and they're not strong enough. He said, I worked for this. I know how to handle it because I know what it cost me to get here. My brother and sister, until we, great anointing costs you something. You just don't get anointed because you want it. You get anointed because you've been crushed and kept your eyes on God. What I share with you all is not a sermon made for you. What I share with you is what God is sharing with me. What God is showing me. I walk in awe of God because he's always blowing my mind and always said, Lord, forgive us because we did not understand. So God is walking us together as he's walking me. So if when I say cut you, it cut me first. If you're bleeding right now, I'm bleeding more. But I'd rather hear from God than to hear from anybody else. It costs. But if you want the sweetness of his fellowship, if you want the peace that passes understanding, if you want the joy that in spite of your circumstances, Paul is in the midst of a jailhouse in Philippians, and he talks about how joyful he is. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You're in hell, but you still got joy. You're going through a whole lot, but the peace of God got you covered. There's somebody that knows you can go to sleep at night and you're not worried about it because you know you are covered. Is there anybody covered in the house? Does anybody know that you're covered in the house? Matter of fact, you don't understand it. You ought to be pulling out your hair if you have any hair. And the only reason why you're not pulling it out, there's something about Jesus that makes your situation terrible because he's in it with you. He promised. He promised. Listen. What time is it? Okay. Even the promise of the 23rd Psalm is only for those who has made him their Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Which means they are saying, I'm following him. He is before me, and I am following him. Even if, I guess my mic is not doing what it's supposed to do. Testing, 1, 2. Okay, there we go. Even if he walks me through the shadow of the valley of death, he's with me. Notice what the mandatory response is for the blessing. You're following him. You know what Satan has done with Adam and Eve? Stop them from following the Lord. He told them, you got this. You don't need him. You can't trust his heart towards you. But isn't he telling us the same lie? He don't say it when you're on top of the mountain. He said it when you've been diagnosed with cancer. He says it when Boo done broke up with you. He says it when husband or wife is acting up. He says it when the finance is not what you want it to be. He says it when life has taken a turn and you find yourself in a place that you never thought you would be. See, what allows me to know how strong we are is not when we're on top of the mountain. And top of the mountain can be a precursor too. But most of the time, it's when everything has fallen apart. Went to the hospital. And I've been there many times for many folks, but I go not knowing what is in store. I go there not knowing where they're at, but I'm looking for where they are in the midst. Not physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Where are you? That's the question God asked Adam and Eve. Where are you? Why have you moved out of position? You have come out from under my authority. Where are you? God is asking you and I, where are we? So went to the hospital, and the future of this situation did not look good. God needed to make a move, but I heard the person say, the most important thing for me is to finish my race. Fulfill my purpose. I want God to keep me, and if he don't, it's okay too. But if he does, I realize that I wasted too much time. And I have set my eyes, because the only thing that matters is to fulfill the thing that I've been made for. I want to tell us today, a lot of stuff going to be thrown at you. A lot of folks going to say a whole lot of stuff. But when you get serious about Jesus, you set your eyes on him because he's the best thing that could ever happen to you. It's fulfilling your purpose in him. Listen, there's joy in the Lord. There's peace in the Lord. There's satisfaction in him. All of life is finding yourself in him. What are we chasing? What are we holding on to that the Lord is saying, I can't bless you till you let it go? I can't take you where you won't let me take you. I got more for you, but as long as you stay stuck on dead stuff, you can't see or experience me in the way I want to bless you. He wants to bless us beyond what we can imagine. Would the end of our lives, whatever would be, one of blessing God and not cursing God, because we're walking with him in blessing of him and, well, I said, satisfied. Satisfied. Even after Moses messed up, God takes him up to the mountain and at least let him see. I think what Moses said is, Lord, through all the tears, through all the struggles, through all that I have done myself, you've been good. It does God no service to not give us a satisfaction that our children will testify, that our grandchildren will testify. And it would be like, through all my ups and downs, he been good. The greater, the deeper we make him our Lord, allows him to show us, I know this is not good English, but it sounds good. The more he shows us, more good. I don't know about you. I've been on the other side. I had my full of the other side. I have made up my mind. I want all that God has for me. And watch this. No matter the cost. Because he has already proven himself enough. Did you hear what I said? He has already proven himself enough. And when you do that, God will just open up doors. God will just walk you through. You will stumble into things. And even when the devil attack you, he put a space between you and trouble that you don't feel the trouble. Because he's there. There was four people in the furnace. Did y'all hear that? When the three Hebrew boys was thrown in the furnace, there was a fourth one that showed up that took the, what's it, that made it okay in the fire. I don't know about you, but is Jesus standing with you? Does he has you? My time is up. Those that are watching, I hope you know him for yourself. I hope that you have said, Lord, forgive me for all that I have done. Lord, I tried it on my own, but today I make a choice to give my life to you. Lord, I repent and I ask that you come in. I believe that you died for my sins and you rose again. Lord, I give my life to you. And if you just say that, if you mean it from your heart, the Lord will come in and they will, oh, he'll start walking with you. Oh, he'll start showing you. Our God is faithful. Our God is good. Our God is an on-time God. Those in the house, would you stand with me? I don't know what you are facing, but it's one thing I know, our God is able. If you set your face on him and you hold on, watch to see if God won't walk you through and give you a greater testimony of his goodness. Somebody, if you want to come today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I got a preacher there, I got deacons here. They will minister to you. They will pray with you. They will show you how to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. As we wait a moment for you, come on. Every Christian ought to be praying. Every Christian ought to be praying that God touch even now. Lord, move. Lord, touch. Those that are standing, touch the person here next to you and start praying for them. Father, Lord, I believe that our greatest need in the church is to see you. Father, we are being deceived. We are being blinded by all the stuff that is coming at us on social media, on TV. Lord, we are spending more time on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, then we're spending time in your word. Father, I'm not only seeing young people in it, I see old people in it. Lord, shake us and wake us up. Help us to get a glimpse of your glory. A glimpse of your goodness. Lord, overwhelm us with your love that we may come to realize that you love us more than what we can ever imagine. And there is no love like your love. You're the one that gives us significance. You're the one that makes us feel like we belong. Our purpose and our total personality can be found only in you, Jesus. So Lord, come grab us. Come shake us. Come get a lasso around our necks that we can't run from you no more. Lord, help us to see you. Help us to sense your love and be overwhelmed by the height of it, the depth of it, the width of it, the deepness of it, until we become full of the fullness of God. Help us, Lord, that our testimony becomes stronger, until our walk becomes stronger, until we find ourselves falling and falling more in love with you. Even now, Lord, catch a hold of us. Even now, Lord, let us see you like we have never seen you before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah! 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 Amen. Those of you that are watching, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We see you next week. We are praying for you. Be blessed this week. God, abundance on you. God, love for you as you go forth this week with Him.